About 2 years ago, we showed the video Expelled here at Mount Free Church, and some of you may remember that time. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the video Expelled, it's where Ben Stein, who some of you may remember him from his Wonder Years days, he was the teacher in that show, he goes around and he investigates why all these professors are losing their positions at these universities. And what he finds is that they're losing these positions because they believe in intelligent design. They reject evolution, and they're rejecting the Big Bang Theory, and there's nothing that they did, but because they hold these views, they were being fired. And in order to promote the film, Mount High School, it was promoted at Mount High School through FCA. And at the time, I was a part of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And the teacher at the high school was leading Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we put up flyers to promote Expelled. And he was receiving criticism for putting up the flyers. And we were meeting weekly at this time, and I showed up to one of the meetings that morning, and he told me, he said, "Seth, you know what happened? Someone took down all of the flyers." And we don't know who did it, but obviously we were troubled by what took place. And what this shows is that someone in the school was hostile towards the idea that there could be a God who created the universe. There could be a God who created the earth and everything in it. And this thought that is hostile towards the teachings of the Bible is not only taking place at Mound High School, it's also taking place, you know, throughout universities all across this country, all over the world, and it's becoming kind of a prevailing thought in our world. And it's contrary to what God's word has to say. And the reason this comes is because it's man's thinking, which is hostile towards the way that God thinks. And it's hostile towards his message. And what we'll see in our text this morning in Ephesians chapter 4 is the teachings of Christ versus the teachings of man. So if you have a Bible, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 24. And if you're using a Red Pew Bible, it's on page 978. 978. About 2 years ago, we showed the video Expelled here at Mount Free Church, and some of you may remember that time. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the video Expelled, it's where Ben Stein, who some of you may remember him from his Wonder Years days, he was the teacher in that show, he goes around and he investigates why all these professors are losing their positions at these universities. And what he finds is that they're losing these positions because they believe in intelligent design. They reject evolution, and they're rejecting the Big Bang Theory, and there's nothing that they did, but because they hold these views, they were being fired. And in order to promote the film, Mound High School, it was promoted at Mound High School through FCA. And at the time, I was a part of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And the teacher at the high school was leading Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we put up flyers to promote Expelled. And he was receiving criticism for putting up the flyers. And we were meeting weekly at this time, and I showed up to one of the meetings that morning, and he told me, he said, "Seth, you know what happened? Someone took down all of the flyers." And we don't know who did it, but obviously we were troubled by what took place. And what this shows is that someone in the school was hostile towards the idea that there could be a God who created the universe. There could be a God who created the earth and everything in it. And this thought that is hostile towards the teachings of the Bible is not only taking place at Mound High School, it's also taking place, you know, throughout universities all across this country, all over the world, and it's becoming kind of a prevailing thought in our world. And it's contrary to what God's word has to say. And the reason this comes is because it's man's thinking, which is hostile towards the way that God thinks. And it's hostile towards his message. And what we'll see in our text this morning in Ephesians chapter 4 is the teachings of Christ versus the teachings of man. So if you have a Bible, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 24. Follow along with me as I read. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Immaturity in your walk with Christ leads to one being steered away by false doctrine. One who is true in the faith is able to detect error when it comes and able to keep it away from themselves. God's plan is that you would become who you already are in Christ. Now, there are several texts in the Bible that say that you are sanctified. You are this in Christ. And it means that this is your standing in Christ. But because this is your standing in Christ, you must also live a certain way as you go through this life. You must live it out right now. You must live out this reality. Now in verse 17, Paul continues this thought, and he says that because this is your standing in Christ, you should not live like unbelievers. Verse 17, he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord." Now Paul is saying this on the authority of the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. So you should not think the way unbelievers think. Now the mind in verse 17, it's referring to the intellect. And the intellect meaning the way that one thinks. And this leads to point one. There are three ways that you should let Jesus transform you. There are three ways. The first way is to reject the intellectual error in unbelievers. Reject the intellectual error in unbelievers. Now, the mind of an unbeliever makes incorrect conclusions because it knows nothing of the truth. What you must understand is that the reason that they come up with these conclusions is because they're far from the truth from the beginning. Now, when NASA sends a spacecraft into outer space and they send it to like the moon or to Mars or to some other planet, they have these measurements. And these measurements have to be exactly right in order for them to arrive at this destination. If they're off at any point, what will happen is that the spacecraft will go way out into outer space somewhere, and they won't reach the destination that they had planned. And it's the same when it comes to intellectual truth. When an unbeliever tries to understand why the world exists, why we're here, what's the origin of man, all of these things, they're not starting with God's word. They're not starting from the right place. What they're doing is they're starting from a point of error, and as a result, their conclusions are way off base. So that's why we see this in the world that we live in. We live in a world that is blind to biblical truth. Now, if you look at the first half of verse 18, it says that they are darkened in their understanding. They are darkened in their understanding. And this statement agrees with what Paul says in a different letter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So an unbeliever who does not have the Spirit of God within them is unable to understand the truth of God. God must turn on that light first for one to understand the truth that he has revealed. And on Monday nights, Bran and I are leading a community group, and Caleb and Roman and Logan and Fauna have been attending. And one thing we did last Monday, if we watched the video "Science Confirms the Bible," and it's put on by Ken Ham, who is the founder and director of Answers in Genesis. And we talked about what we learned about was DNA, how DNA shows that there is a designer. And it's now DNA is this complex language. And as they continue to discover it, they see how complex it is. And this isn't something that matter could have produced on its own. It had to come from a designer, and it came from God. And they prove that in the film. And they talk about Noah's Ark. You know, obviously, many people have questions. You know, how does this fit in to modern science? And the favorite line that the youth enjoyed hearing is that Ken Ham's like, if there really was a global flood, we would find billions of dead things in the earth. He said, well, what do we find? We find billions of dead things in the earth. There's all these fossils all over the place. And they're arguing it's from Noah's flood that is described clearly in the Bible. And then the ice age that we had came from there being a catastrophic flood. That produced this an ice age, that all scientists agree that there was an ice age. But the conclusions they reach as to how it happened are different, depending on whether you start with the Bible or whether you start from a worldly viewpoint. So my question to you is, are you being led away by man's foolish thinking? It's easy to in the day and age that we live in. And this is a controversial subject, but it's something that we must pay close attention to. And the next question I have for you is, do you correct the error of others when they say something to you that is contrary to what God's word says? 1 Peter 3:15 says that we must always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have, but do this with gentleness and respect. That's how you must answer each objection that you receive. Do to be able to defend your faith when someone has an objection to what you believe. Because you know what? Your faith rests on the firmest foundation that there is. And because what you believe is the truth. And so you will be able to argue. You just need to understand how to argue. So I encourage you, do your best to be able to defend your faith and to correct the intellectual error. Now, there are three types of life that you see in the world. And this is what verse 18 is talking about here, that they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. John Calvin says that there are three types of life. There's animal life, and then there's the supernatural life. The life that one is being cut off from when one is an unbeliever is the supernatural life. And John Calvin sums up this present life like this. He says that our ordinary life as men is nothing more than an empty image of life, not only because it quickly passes, but also because while we live, our souls, not keeping close to God, are dead. This means that, you know, there are people walking all over the earth who are living, they're healthy, they're alive and well, but God has not transformed them. And so as they live, they're spiritually dead. And it shows in the way that they think. It's obvious. Unbelievers are ignorant of God, and it comes from their hardness of heart. This is what you see at the end of verse 18. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Their hard heart does not allow them to understand who God is. And they are alienated from his life as a result of this hardness of heart. And they are ignorant to what the truth is. And when one is contrary to God's teaching, it shows in one's life. And you'll see this in verse 19. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. The thinking comes from the heart, and so what will happen is that a person will live a sinful lifestyle. And when it says that they become callous, it means that they don't care. They don't wake up every morning saying, okay, I want to please God. A true believer says, I want to please the Lord today. So, and it shows in the way that you live. This person doesn't care. And so they plunge themselves into all kinds of impurity. And this is what Paul says. They are greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And he lists sensuality and he lists greed, two sins here. But he also opens it up to much more when he says every kind of impurity. Drunkenness, sexual immorality, theft, idolatry, all kinds of idolatry, materialism. It shows up in all walks of life. And this comes from a hardness of heart that is blind to God's truth. And it's common in our day. It's very common. All you have to do is open up your eyes and see it. The result of everything that you see around you is due to the hardness of heart and an ignorance of God. But if you're in Christ, guess what? This doesn't describe you. And that's the encouraging news this morning. So the first way that you should let Jesus transform you is that you should reject the intellectual error in unbelievers. The second way that you should let Jesus transform you is you should receive Christ's accurate instruction. Receive Christ's accurate instruction. Verse 20 and 21. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, Paul stresses that the Ephesian believers had learned about Jesus. Now, they either learned about it from him or they learned about it from someone else, another believer. Now, in verse 21, he's not expressing doubt, but certainty that they were taught. He knew that they were taught the teachings of Christ. The learning that you have received about Jesus is much different than the teaching that you've received from the world. And I grew up in the public school system, and I didn't go to a secular college, but I know what it's like to be taught the things of the world. And many of you do too. I know that you do, because you're around it all the time. And that teaching is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes contrary to the teachings of Jesus. And look at this in verse 21. It says, as the truth is in Jesus. Okay, so it's saying the instruction that you've received from Jesus is truth. Remember Jesus, what he said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not saying that I'm true. He's saying that he's truth. There's a big difference because truth is a standard, which means that everything in the world must measure up to him. And if it doesn't measure up to his standard of truth, then you know that it is error, that it is false. It's an important point to draw from this. And so if you're wondering what truth is today, this is it. It's the instruction that you learn from Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died his sacrificial death on the cross, paying for the sins of anybody who would believe in him. And then he was raised to life on the third day. Anybody who believes in this will have eternal life. This is the clear teaching of Jesus. And what else you have learned from Jesus is that you are to put to death the sin in your life. This is the instruction that Paul gives in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. He says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. And the reason that you have the ability to put these things to death in your life is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13 says that if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So the Spirit is the one who gives you the power to put this sin to death in your life. And what you are doing as you learn this instruction, this accurate instruction from Jesus, is that you are leaving your old way of life and you are entering the new way of life. You're putting off your old self. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And if you look at verse 22, he says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Now, some of you could think back to the days when you did not know Christ, and some of you might be here today and you don't know the Lord, and you're living in this right now. And I'm glad that you're here, because you can hear what God's word has to say. But the Bible instructs you, you need to leave that way of life. As we read in Colossians 3, the wrath of God is coming on one who lives in that kind of life, proving that they're not a believer at all. And if you look at verse 22, it says deceitful desires. If you look at that word there at the end, and that's an important word, because when you're cut off from the life of God, you have desires that are contrary to God's way, to the teachings of Christ. And your desires lead you into a very immoral lifestyle. And it might not always seem that way on the outside, but like idolatry is a sin that can look good sometimes. But you know, you can love your wife or love your children more than God. But you know what? On account of this, the wrath of God is coming. You need to love him more than you love anything in your life. Otherwise, it's idolatry. Now, if you're a believer, your desires change. The things that you used to love, you don't love anymore. And you love things that you never would have loved. You love God. You love the teachings of Christ. The reason that you're here today listening to this instruction and this preaching is because your desires have changed. You chose to be here. And that's great news. And unbelievers desire things that are contrary to God. So you are attracted to the truth that is in Jesus. This is the transformation that takes place in your life, and it's happening to people every single day. So that is the second way that you should let Jesus transform you. Receive Christ's accurate instruction. The third way that you should let Jesus transform you is to become who God made you to be. Become who God made you to be. Look with me at verses 23 and 24. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, if you're here today and you do know the Lord, and that means that transformation has taken place in your life. You've been renewed inwardly, and it shows in your outward actions. Now, if you go back to your old life, you are not letting God change you. If you look at verse 23, the spirit of your mind is your inward being. The terms spirit and mind, you'll notice in verse 23, they're synonymous with each other. They're not distinct. These are two synonymous terms, meaning your inward being. And when your inward being is changed, your thinking will change too. This happens to people who become believers in Christ. I was actually talking to one of my friends this week. He's a seminary student, and he used to have kind of an, he was never an atheist, but he had a very worldly understanding of how things were. And we were talking specifically about evolution. And I told him, when did you stop believing in evolution? And he told me, right when I became a believer in Christ. he said it was instant. Like, his mind changed, and he realized, like, wait, that seems like it's contrary to what the Word of God has to say. And then he said he watched some science films, and it confirmed what his new conscience in Christ was telling him. And this happens to people all the time. Some of the 20th century apologists that we know best, like C.S. Lewis, his mind was changed. One who was a huge critic of the Christian faith becomes a defender of the Christian faith. Lee Strobel is a guy that I've read some of. He's another one he was an atheist who became a believer, and now he's a defender of the faith. Josh McDowell has read some great apologetics books. And these men have been trained in the instruction of Christ. And as a result, they're teaching people how to defend their faith. And Paul, the very author of this letter, knows well of this transformation. He was the chief persecutor of the Christian church. The claims of Christianity he denied outright. And when he was on the road to Damascus in an effort to persecute more Christians, Jesus appears to him, and his mind changes. And he goes from being the greatest persecutor to the greatest proponent of the Christian faith. And he writes 13 letters of the New Testament. And it's amazing the work that God can do in one's life. You are to put off your old self as you put on your new self. And this is the instruction that we receive from verse 24. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. So this is opposite of verse 22, where it's talking about putting off your old self. You're putting off your old self, and you're putting on your new self. Now, it's typical for people to have their favorite clothes in their closet, and then their least favorite clothes in their closet. And as I'm married to Brianna, I'm getting a little more used to all this clothing. She has a lot more than I do. But so you have your favorite clothing that you want to wear. It's at the top of your priority list. Okay, I want to wear this clothing. But then you have that clothing that's at the back of your closet that you only wear if nothing else is clean. And it's the last option. Even I have this. And as you look through your clothing, you don't want to wear it. And if you're following Jesus today and you've put on your new self, when you desire to live like the world again, what you're doing, it's like putting on that old, dingy clothing at the back of your closet that you don't want to wear. You're pretty much saying, okay, I would rather wear that than this new clothing that I typically prefer. And so you should never desire to put on this old clothing again as a Christian. You should desire to put on this new clothing, because the clothing that Christ, that you are in Christ and that Christ calls you to put on, is pure and holy and clean, and it looks good. And this is the direction that God is sending you in your life. He has changed you, and this is the work that he has done. And you must live in that manner. And God, what God is doing is he's making you like himself. You know, you're created in the image of God. And this fallen creation is being restored to be like him. It's happening to people every day. People are being sanctified. They're being made to be more like Jesus Christ. You know, in the Garden of Eden, it says that God, or not in the Garden of Eden, but before, during the creation, he created man in his own image. And this has been a point of debate among theologians over a couple millennia. What is the image of God? If you look at verse 24, we're created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And some of the understanding what this means has been confusing, but if you think about it, the image of God, it's rule. God created man to rule. You know, he is the ultimate ruler, but he creates men to be sub-rulers below him. Creativity. You don't see animals making these inventions. Animals don't do that. Human beings do because they're created after the likeness of God. We have a creative capacity to us. Reason. Human beings are able to reason like God is able to reason. This is another way that theologians have argued that people might be created after his image. You know, relationships. Now, I found this interesting. I was thinking about this a long time ago, that God has a relationship with himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this has been an eternal relationship that never had a beginning. And when he creates his people who are created after his image, he wants them to be in a relationship, just like he has a relationship with himself. And he desires to have that relationship with his people. And then morality. This is what we see in verse 24. True righteousness and holiness. To be like God is to be holy. Now, God is a moral being, just like we are. Now, he's holy, and we have sinned. But when he's creating man to be like himself, he's created them to be, as it says here, created in his likeness in true righteness and holiness. So when it comes to the image of God, there's a clear reference to character. We become like God as he does this work in our lives. So as you become made righteous and as you become more holy, you will look different than this unbelieving world that is passing away. The prevailing thought of our world today is passing away, which is why you must embrace the teachings of Jesus Christ, because it'll go on forever. So my question to you is, are you being led away by man's foolish thinking? And as a result, are you being led away into a sinful lifestyle that this thinking leads to? And it starts with hardness of heart. So you must be changed from the inside out in order for this to take place. And that comes through believing in Jesus Christ. So if you have yet to believe in him today, I encourage you, believe on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Let the truth of Jesus transform you. Reject the intellectual error in unbelievers. Receive Christ's accurate instruction and become who God made you to be. Do not walk as unbelievers do, but let Christ's teaching change your thinking. And that inward change will lead to transformation in your life. So, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've done this work, and so many here, that you have transformed us. And I think of the instruction in Romans 12, where he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you've done that transformation, Father. And you call us to put off that old self and to put on the new self. You know, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And Lord, your word acknowledges that we still can put on our old self if our desires lead us away from you. But indeed, Lord, if we truly belong to you, we won't want to stay in that pattern very long. We'll want to leave that behind and to embrace the truth and to be created after your likeness in true righteousness and holiness. And I pray, Lord, that you would do this work in this room today, even in the people who are here, who have yet to have this transformation, and those who do, that they would continue to walk in holiness and that you would make them more and more into your likeness each day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.